Would you turn your Bibles with me to the book of Romans, chapter 3? I will read from verse 9 onwards. Romans 3, 9. It says, "What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks, that means Jews and Gentiles, are all under sin." Or in other words, Jews and Gentiles means the whole world is under sin. As it is written, "There is none righteous, not even one person. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good, there is not even one. Their throat is an open grave, with their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths. And the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes," it says. This was the condition of all of us before we came to Christ. We were all like this. There was no righteousness, there was no understanding, we all were together became useless, and none of us were doing good, not even one, it says. And our tongues were deceiving, and poison was under our lips, and cursing and bitterness and destruction and misery in our path of peace we didn't know. All this is the result of one thing, and that is that there is no fear of God before their eyes. So when the fear of God is gone from our life, man tends to have all these things in his life. And he thinks that he is right and everybody is wrong. That is what we were once upon a time before we came to Christ. We thought, "Nothing is wrong with me. The problem is with the other people around me." But when the Lord in His mercy opened our eyes, we saw it was not the problem with other people. The problem is with me. And when we realized that, and when we confessed our sin, repented and confessed and believed, then God in His mercy saved us. And if any of you have not come to that place and still these characteristics are in your life, it's better that you examine yourself and come to a place where you fear God, and the fear of God will take care of all these things, will drive away all these things from your life. And you will become a new creation. All old things pass away, and God gives you a new heart and a new mind and a new spirit, and He writes His laws in your heart and mind, and you become a new creation. All old things vanish, and you are a brand new creature in Christ. And from then on, the Lord wants you to walk in the light as He is in the light. That we emphasize many times here in the church. Walking in the light means that I have nothing, no darkness in me, means no sin, no unconfessed sin between me and God, and between me and my fellow human beings. It may be brother or sister in the church, or it may be people at home, or maybe in workplace or neighborhood, whatever it is. That my conscience doesn't condemn me as far as I'm concerned to the best of my ability. I have set everything right and I'm walking in the light. And as we walk in the light, as that word says, the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sins. And when we are made aware of any sin in our life, then in verse 9 of 1 John 1 it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, it says. Then He restores us back to fellowship with Him. So the fear of God is very important for a child of God, because if we base our Christian life on some past date, that I got born again on such and such a date in the past, or I was filled with the Spirit on some past date, then I'm not walking in the light. The question is, how is it going with you today? How are you on a daily basis? Are you walking in the light as He is in the light? If you are, then the promise of God is that His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. And if you're walking in the light like that, confessing your sins on a daily basis, the moment you are made aware of it and your conscience tells you that you committed a foul, then you immediately, you break down before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. Please have mercy on me. Forgive me. And also go and ask forgiveness from the person you have hurt. That is walking in the light. And when you keep doing that, brothers and sisters, whenever the Lord brings it to your mind that you have hurt somebody, you've spoken rudely, or you have cheated somebody, or given a false impression, the moment you do that, and the moment you go and confess that to the other person, you know, something happens in you. That self in you is broken and you are humbled, and you'll be very careful next time to do that, and your conscience becomes more and more sensitive to sin and towards God. The Bible also says here in 1 Peter 1, Peter 1:17, it says, if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each man's work, conduct yourselves in fear. Again, that word, the fear of God. Conduct yourself in the fear of God during the time of your sojourn or your stay upon this earth. See, according to this verse, we are pilgrims in this world. We are sojourners. We are travelers. Like you see in some places, people come as pilgrims to a pilgrimage spot. So they just come and they do whatever they have to do, and then they vanish from there. That's how brief our life is here on this earth. We are like sojourners. We are like pilgrims on this earth. The Bible says that. And we are here but for a moment. And we are gone. And we know some people who were with us last year are not with us today. And our time also will come one day. We also have to just leave this shell and go away. Like that verse says, from dust you are taken and to dust you shall return. And the spirit that God has given will go back to him who breathed into you the breath of life. So one day we all will shed our shell here, this mud pot in which we are living. And remember, my dear brothers and sisters, if we are not living in the fear of God, I don't mean fear of God that I'm afraid of God. Not that I'm afraid of God, but that I'm afraid that I may hurt or grieve God by disobeying him. I know I don't need to be afraid of God, thinking that God will do some harm to me. God is not that kind of person, as many think. But the attitude should be changed from one of being afraid of God to being afraid that I may hurt him rather than he hurting me. That I may grieve him and bring dishonor to him, lest Satan take advantage and he be glorified and exalted. That is not what God wants from us. We address him who impartially judges. There is no partiality with God. He impartially judges everyone according to our work after we have been born again. This is not talking about our righteousness before we are born again. We read in our last week's memory verse, you have been saved by faith, by grace through faith. And we just leave at that. But go down a little bit. One verse, skip one verse and go to the 10th verse. It says very clearly that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Not to do good works so as to go to heaven, but because God has been merciful to me, in his mercy has forgiven my past and given me a clean slate and a new life, that as a return of thanksgiving and gratitude, I engage myself in doing good so that God can be glorified and those will be acceptable in his sight, those good works for which we have been made or we are called. And the Bible says here, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of thinking, inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. We sang just now a song that Christ became sin for us. Do you understand what it means? That Christ not only took our sins upon him, he became sin for us. Means he became sin personified. Jesus Christ became sin. My sin, your sin, and the sin of the whole world was put upon him. And the Father could not look at that. That's why Jesus had to cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? That fellowship that he had for all eternity was lost there for 3 hours on the cross. Because that was the time when all our sins, the whole sins of mankind from Adam till the last person to be born, all was put upon him. And he became sin. Not that he bore sin, he did that, but he became sin personified. And it was so hideous that the Father could not look at him at that moment. Do we see the seriousness of it, my brothers and sisters? Or we treat, oh, anytime I slip up, I can just shoot out a prayer and ask God to forgive me and continue as I am. If that is my attitude, I am treating the blood of Christ like a common thing. And if we go on sinning willfully, says in Hebrews, knowing the terror of the Lord, we go on sinning willfully, day after day after day, then it says there is no sacrifice left for us. But to look forward to that day of judgment where, you know, as of now, we come to him, to the throne of what? Grace, and to the throne of mercy. But a day will come when we stand before his throne, it will not be a throne of mercy. It says very clearly, we all need to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It's no longer a throne of mercy. Mercy will end one day. And when that happens, there will not be mercy anymore. It will be the day of judgment, day of reckoning. Each one of us have to stand there before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account. And that day, the throne of Jesus is not mercy throne. It's going to be a throne of judgment, and there is no escape from that. That is the final verdict. There is no court beyond that. That is the court of courts, the final supreme court, beyond which there is no appeal. So brothers and sisters, take your life seriously. In verse 2 it says, in the same chapter of 1 Peter 1, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that you may obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. It says, the purpose that God has chosen us, by the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, the reason is that we may obey. Many churches, they don't emphasize on this. They say, Jesus has obeyed, he has kept a commandment for me. I don't have to obey, I don't have to keep the commandments. How blind one can be. Jesus said almost the last words before he went to heaven. He said, go and preach the gospel to all nations and make them my disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And we glibly forget that. And we think, oh, Jesus has done all for me, so now I have confessed my sins, I can live as I like. My dear brother and sister, if that is your attitude, I will say you are not born again. And you are not walking in the light. You are not a Christian. You are deceiving yourself. All you need to do is go and repent before the Lord. Humble yourself and ask the Lord that you have lived in deception all these days. And it says, again in verse 14, the same thing it says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. Are you still living in your former lusts? The lusts that held sway over you, had control over you. It could be anything. It may be anger. It may be lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Anything it could be. Or your loose tongue, poison of asp under your tongue. You're still continuing in that. Do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. Now that you claim to be a Christian, are you obeying as obedient children? See, obedience is not emphasized outside this church. I hardly hear anywhere when I watch online different preachers, different church services about repentance and obedience. I rarely hear that. But this is what the Bible says. Jesus said, teach them to obey all that I have commanded. And then he says, lo, I am with you always. If you are not obeying and you claim that God is with you, you are deceiving yourself. It's such people, Jesus said, those who are obeying. He said, lo, I am with you always till the end of the ages. So brothers and sisters, even in verse 5, it says, we who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Some of us glory in the fact that I got salvation. But here it says salvation to be revealed in the last time. Like we have mentioned many times, it has three tenses: salvation from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, and from the presence of sin. And ultimately, we will be saved from the very presence of sin. We are being saved from the power of sin now. We were saved from the penalty of sin when we came to Christ. And as we are walking in the light today, we are being saved from the power of sin, and the day will come when Christ comes, or when we finish our journey here on this earth, we will be saved at the last time, that is, after our last breath. And the same thing again it says in verse 9, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. See, the outcome of your faith is the salvation of your souls. This is again referring to the final salvation. It's not the salvation that I had once upon a time. Don't ever anchor your life on that past experience. How is it today? Are you walking in the light? Is your conscience more sensitive today than the day you came to Christ, or than yesterday? If your conscience is not sensitive today, more than yesterday, then you're not walking in the light. You're putting your light under a bushel. Jesus said that in the Sermon on the Mount. Don't hide your light under a bushel. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. So, brothers and sisters, our salvation is the outcome of our faith. The Bible is very clear. He who names the name of the Lord shall depart from iniquity. If that is not happening in my life, every day I'm not conquering more ground. and more sins I am not conquering, then I am not progressing, I am regressing. I am like that saying goes, one step forward and two steps backwards. Our life can be like that. Then where we will end? My dear brothers and sisters, take your Christian life seriously. It's not that once saved, always saved. If anybody sitting here believes that, we tell you that is a false doctrine. And if you are one of those, please go and join those people. Don't waste your time sitting here. We don't believe in that. You can be saved and you can be lost and go to hell finally if you continue in sin. If you don't fear God and keep His commandments, He will send you along with those who, for whom hell is reserved. So nobody is exempted from that. He who practices sin, it could be anything, it could be even hidden sin like covetousness, love of money, or covetousness of any kind, maybe prominence or anything like that. My dear brothers and sisters, it's not only our sinful acts that the Lord judges on the day when we stand before His throne. The Bible says very clearly, on that day He will bring to light men's hearts. He will expose the thought life, our motives, our intentions, all that was there inside which was hidden from other men will be laid bare before Him and before everybody to see. So if you want to save yourself from that embarrassment, be transparent before the Lord today and confess, Lord, I have been a hypocrite. Please be merciful to me. I don't want to continue like this anymore. I want my life to be changed every day for the better, that I may go from glory to glory, that my life will be better and better every day. Lord Jesus, help me to that end. If that is your cry, you think the Lord will not take notice of you? Let's bow down, bow our heads in prayer before the Lord.